I've been involved in several renovation projects in my time. And I understand just from the word, because it starts with R-E, that there's something taking place that exists. Because it exists, well, then you're doing something with it. You're reworking it. You know, there's not that understanding in Scripture when it comes to the end of time by some. There's something that they don't understand about what God has said about the end of this time, in which there will be no more plane of existence as we know now, in which there will not be that which is temporal or carnal. But they expect some sort of renovation. Now, understand, as we're going to see, God has spoken about things that have already been renovated, but also some things that need to be renovated. But as we're going to look and see, it's not about this earth. It's not about this earth. When we think about this, the Watchtower organization and others contend that when the end comes, that this earth will be renovated. And that's going to take place sometime at the final judgment. And I want you to note what J.F. Rutherford, who is one of the founders of the Watchtower Society, of course we know them as Jehovah's Witnesses today. Watchtower Society is the leading group of that group. We notice what he says as he writes the following. He, Jehovah, which is interesting because they now recognize that and have admitted that Jehovah is not a good translation or rendering, but yet they continue to use it because it's known. But he, Jehovah, ordained also that a certain specific number should be chosen from amongst men to be his joint heirs in the kingdom, participants with him in the new creation. We have every reason to believe that the definite fixed number of the elect is that several times stated in Revelation, the 7th chapter, verse 4, 14th chapter, verse 1, namely, 144,000 redeemed from amongst men. This he wrote in the New Creation Watchtower Bible and Tract Society, page 179. With that thought in mind, of course, what he is making reference to, and it comes into play with our hopes today, is that a home in heaven is completely out of the range of possibility. And that's their belief. That's not going to happen. There's that fixed and set number of the 144,000 that they take and misapply from Revelation, those particular passages, to try to understand that. When he says we have every reason to believe, he has every reason to believe it because that's what he believes, not because that's what the Scripture is talking about. But we go on and we see that the remainder of those who are not destined for annihilation, and that's another aspect of the Watchtower theory, that the 144,000 will be in heaven. That's all that will be in heaven with the Lord. They are the chosen ones. The majority of those, all of those, of course, come from the Watchtower Society group. No one else is allowed to that. But also, if you're not found as at least a fairly good person, you'll be annihilated at the end. Annihilated means is that you'll be completely out of existence. But there will be those that have died that have been fairly good people that will be recreated once again because they're held in the mind of God, the mind of Jehovah, as they say, and then they will be recreated at the end. The Bible tells us of only one way into favor and blessing of God, and only one place, by the way, when this time is no more. The Jehovah Witnesses, they have two places. Notice what else Rutherford writes. He says, when mankind reaches perfection at the close of the millennial age, as already shown, they will be admitted into membership in the kingdom of God and given the entire control of earth as at first designed, each man a sovereign, a king. And this is in the writing in a tract, The Plan of the Ages, page 296. When you, the Plan of the Ages. Whenever you look at that, I don't know if you've ever considered why is it that they believe the way that they do. Right here is the answer to that. Why do they believe that there's going to be a renovated earth? What is the hope of the Jehovah's Witness? Well, this is it right here. They'll be sovereign rulers and kings because they have been part of that society that God will set up as that over those that have not been annihilated but are here upon the earth. And so that's their hope. But it's not just about those of the Watchtower. There are others also involved in this very same thinking. Clarence Larkin, a Baptist preacher who lived from 1850 to 1924, he wrote in his book, Dispensational Truth, in chapter 25, he says, a surface reading of the above passage, and I included that for you with what he's talking about, and that's 2 Peter 3, 7 through 13, would lead one to believe that the earth as a planet and the sidereal heavens are to be destroyed by fire and pass away. It'd be really, really good if you just put a period there and ended and didn't write anything else in the book, because then he would have had it. But of course he goes on. He says, but a careful study of the scriptures will show us that this is not so. That what is to happen is that the present earth and the atmosphere surrounding it is to be renovated by fire, so that its exterior surface shall be completely changed, and all that sin has brought into existence, thorns, thistles, germs, and disease, insects, pests, shall be destroyed, and the atmosphere purified and forever freed from the evil spirits and destructive agencies. I guess that whenever man is recreated, he doesn't have any sort of bacteria in him, so he will not then pervert the atmosphere once again as he has perverted it to this point, and it has been perverted pretty heavy in our congregation with those that are out with the flu. But beside that, this is the belief, and it's held by those that take this thought of the renovated earth. The Bible certainly does speak of things that are renovated. But what are they? Look, I always find it interesting to allow the words that is in the Word of God really tell the story. And they do, if we'll look at the words that are in the Word of God. So, first of all, as we look in 2 Peter, the third chapter, verses 10 through 14, I've included in this reading the highlighted statements that are made along with the Strong's numbers of the Greek that is of those words in order to get a good understanding. So first of all, let's read this. And this, I use the King James Version in this because this is what is coupled with Strong's numbers. Okay. And so Peter says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens, and here's the first term or first wording, shall pass away. Greek number 3928 in Strong's Concordance. With a great noise and the elements, and here's the second phrase, shall melt. Greek number 3089. With fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then all these things shall be dissolved, Greek 3089. What manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of the Lord, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, Greek 3089, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, a different word melt there that we'll deal with in just a moment. What do these terms mean? What are the words, the Greek words, and the definition of those words behind the scenes in what was stated by Peter as he penned this? Well, let's look and see. First of all, that wording shall pass away from verse 10, the Greek number in Strong's number 3928. Perichomai is the Greek word. And it means to pass away, to perish. And wherever you think about that, it's something that we understand, because that takes place in life. Whenever there are those that live and they are no more with us because life has gone from the body, they perish. They're not renovated in any sense. They're gone. That actually, all that is left us is just that shell that was inhabited by that person. That when we go to a funeral and we see that shell, that body lying there in the casket, that is not the person, that is just the shell. And in the same way, we have the earth, the heavens, that is being spoken of here, that it shall pass away in the same way. It is no more in existence. Just as a person that has passed from this life is no more in existence as far as this life is concerned. And then we see the term from the Greek number 3089, melt, which is used in verses 10 and 11, but translated dissolved as we look in verse 11 and 12. And that word is luo in the Greek. And it means to loose what is compacted or built together, to break up, demolish, and destroy. To dissolve something coherent into parts, to destroy. Whenever you think of something that melts, it no longer is in the same state as it was. It's in a completely different state, and in this particular state, as described by the previous rendering of pass away from 3928, Greek 3928, it is no more in existence. It melts to the point of no more into existence, and that's what Peter is saying. I will point out to you that it is the same word, this word melt, luo, is the same word that is used in Ephesians, the second chapter, in verse 14. And there in Ephesians, the second chapter, in verse 14, Paul says concerning Christ, he has broken down, and that's that word, broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Talking there about the Mosaic Law. Now, let me ask you, did God, in bringing forth a new covenant, renovate the Mosaic Law? He did not. It's not a renovated law. And there are those that say, well, no, that's exactly what happened. He just renovated the law a little bit. The Mosaic Law is still with it. We're still bound under the Ten Commandments. But then he added to it, and so now we have a somewhat new commandment. No, it is a new commandment. It is a new covenant. It's not renovated in any way, shape, form, or fashion. The covenant that we have is a new covenant, as described by the Hebrew writer, where he says the old covenant has passed away and now the new covenant has come. Thereby, the reason that we have a new high priest, Christ Jesus, that we have a new mediator, Christ Jesus. All the things that are afforded under the new covenant are different from that from the old covenant, including salvation. So it's not renovated, neither as the earth will be renovated, but it will completely melt. But let's continue on with our wording here. We look now at verse 10 once again in that statement that is made here, that the heaven shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Greek 26:18. Katakaio is the Greek word there, and it means to burn up, consume by fire. And I'm sure that we've all been standing before a fire. Maybe we've tossed a piece of paper into that fire, and it is consumed. It's not as it was. It's gone. It's not paper anymore. As a matter of fact, it's been broken down to nothing but carbon. And that's all that exists, and that's ash. So it is consumed, it's burned up, and he says that's going to be the state, not only of the earth, but also the works that are on the earth, that which has been put on the earth by man. They are going to be consumed completely by fire. And then we have the second word melt, but this time from the Greek 5080, which is the Greek word techo. And what that word means is to make liquid. No longer in the solid form, but rather to make liquid. To become liquid, to melt. To perish or become destroyed by melting. When we think of that, we don't have something that is going to be renovated, but rather that which is completely disfigured from its present shape or form or fashion or an appearance to that which really is no more. And that's what Peter is describing. But there's some other words that we need to look at also, and that is the words new that are used two times in 2 Peter the 3rd chapter in verse 13. And there Peter says, nevertheless, we according to his promise look for new heavens and new earth. And both of those are the same words, Greek 2:25-37. And here is what those words mean. It is from the Greek word kainos, new heavens and new earth, new, recently made, fresh, recent, unused, unworn, as respects substance of a new kind, unprecedented, novel, uncommon, unheard of. In no way, shape, or form can you get renovation out of any of the words that we've looked at. What's going to be coming about is going to be that of a new abode that takes place. That's what Peter is relating to us here. He's not talking about that which exists, which will be renovated, but rather that which it will come into existence that is not now for us in this temporal plane of existence. And consider this when you look at what Jesus said in John the 14th chapter, verses 2 through 3. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. Jesus didn't say, I stay, because that would be what he would have to say if the earth was to be renovated. I stay to prepare it. No, he said, I go to prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you. If he's going to come again and receive us from where we are, we're going to be in a different place. There you may be also, he says in that verse, which is not on this earth, which is not a renovated earth, but rather in heaven is the preparation being made for us by Christ Jesus, already prepared. There will be no renovation of the earth because it will be no more. That which was renovated, as I said, there are some things that we see in Scripture that was renovated. And the first one we see in Matthew the 19th chapter and verse 28. Matthew 19 and verse 28. Jesus said unto them, he's speaking to his disciples, verily I say unto you that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, Greek word 38:24, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. What is it that Jesus is talking about here? Well, it comes from a Greek word, palingenesia, and what that means is a new birth, a reproduction, a renewal, a recreation, a regeneration. And hence, as he says in the next definition, a renovation. What is it a renovation of? You know, it's a similar word when used in connection with the deluge that came upon the earth, that is the flood. So what is it that Jesus is talking about of this regeneration? You that follow me in the regeneration, you will sit upon thrones judging also the 12 tribes of Israel. A renovated worship system and a rule of God over man through Christ Jesus. Understand, whenever he talks about the rule of God, it was renovated in the sense of this new covenant that we have now. God has always been in power and always in rule, but he has used different laws in doing so and different ways of dealing with mankind. Under the patriarchal law, he spoke directly to the fathers. And of course, there was law that was given at that time, and we see that there was even sacrifice, blood sacrifice for forgiveness of sins, but there was not the codified law that was received by Moses given to the children of Israel. And so God dealt with them differently under a different set, a renovated aspect of rule. And then when Christ comes, he did exactly the same thing. The rule didn't stop, but it was renovated now under the law of spirit of life in Christ Jesus that we read of in Romans 8 chapter and verse 2. We also see when Jesus addresses the Father in the model prayer in Matthew the 6th chapter and verse 10. He gives us an inkling of this thought when he says, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy kingdom come. When Jesus prayed that, he's talking about the rule through Christ Jesus that men would be adherent to. This is what John spoke of in John the 1st chapter in verse 17 when he said the law came through Moses, but grace and through Christ Jesus. And then the same thing really that Jesus is referring to in John the 4th chapter verse 21 through 24. Whenever he stood before the woman at the well and said, the hour is coming where you will not worship neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem, but you shall worship me in spirit and truth, because of such the Father seeks them that will worship him in spirit and truth. God is spirit, and they that worship him will worship him in spirit and in truth. That's what Jesus was talking about. And he said there would be a renovation as far as the rule of God in connection with people, his dealings with them and so forth. And that would be through Christ. As we go on, we also see in Titus the 3rd chapter and verse 5, another renovation that is mentioned. And there it says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration, and that's that same word, Greek 38:24, and renewing, Greek 3:42, and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Well, what is it that Paul was talking about whenever he wrote Titus concerning that? Well, again, he uses that same Greek word that he did back that we looked at in Matthew 19 and verse 28. But now, in respect of or context of a different situation. Same exact meaning, including renovation. But he's talking about obedience and baptism, renovating one from sinner to saint, and the continuance of a Christian renewing, and the continuance of the renewing of the mind of the Christian. Two aspects involved. First of all, in coming to Christ, because he mentions here this renewing, Greek 3:42, anakenosis is the Greek word, a renewal, a renovation, complete change for the better. And this is used only two times in the New Testament. And both times it is used, it is not about the end of time, and it's not about the earth. Renovation is only mentioned two times in the New Testament. First of all, concerning the condition of the lost. Titus 3 and verse 5. When we look at that, we understand that he is expecting for people to be renovated. He doesn't require a complete do-over of an individual as far as body and soul are concerned. He's dealing with that which exists, a human being. And he's dealing with human beings and their souls and their desires and their wants and so forth. And so he makes that statement. He says, we were saved not by the works that we do, but rather by the washing of regeneration, speaking of baptism. And then also that which is the renewing of the mind. And we mentioned this passage this morning in the morning sermon, Romans 12 and verse 2, where Paul says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." And that is a continual action that takes place, a renovation of the mind. And the reason being is that we have to continue to fight off those desires of the flesh. And we look to God and His will. Well, here's the application to this. If you're not thinking about the future as you live in the present, you're not prepared for what is coming. And that is really the plea that Peter makes in 2 Peter the 3rd chapter, verses 10 through 13. That preparation that we should make. The reason being, the Lord is coming as a thief in the night. When will He come? We don't know. That's the reason it's described as a thief, that He comes as a thief in the night, unannounced. Therefore, since He's unannounced and all the things take place that He mentions there in verses 10 through 13, he gets to the point, what sort of people ought we to be in all holiness and conversation? We should be the type, and he answers it, that looks for the hastening and the coming of the day of the Lord. We want it to come quickly. And the reason being is we are prepared. We are prepared people. And as also we think about that, if you're waiting for a renovated earth, you're waiting for nothing to happen. Because this plane of existence will be no more and this earth will be no more. If you will trust in Jesus and His Word, you will have an eternal home in the heavens with Him because you've been a prepared people. And we see this. It's interesting to look at the aspect of this to understand what will take place between now and then. And he says in verse 13, "Nevertheless," and this is 2 Peter 3 in verse 13, "Nevertheless, we according to His promise look for new heavens, new earth," that new abode, not a renovated one, but a new abode, "and this is what it will be like, wherein dwells righteousness." Well, why? Well, you've got all the saved there. You've got God. You've got Jesus Christ, who is the light, who is the life giver for all eternity. There's not going to be one that was an unbeliever. There's not going to be one that had looked for themselves, looked out for themselves only. There will be those there that have glorified God in their lives and have purposed to be there because they were prepared. And that's in opposition to what we're living in now. Think about it. "For all that is in the world, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." There you have the contrast between the two existences. I'll tell you, if you have a physical existence, if you have a physical existence, you have then that which is carnal. If you have then that which is carnal, you will eventually have that which is sensual. And that's exactly what John was speaking of in 1 John 2 and verse 16. But if you have that which is spiritual, God is the light. He is the sustenance. He is the life giver for all eternity. You have then that wherein dwells righteousness, and there's nothing to defile. And so we need to renovate what God says to renovate, our mind and our relationship. And as Christians, we should do that. As Christians, it is a continuing process. as Brother Jess Jenkins says, and I wish I'd said it, but I didn't, and I told him I'd be using it, and he gave approval of it. Living the Christian life is nothing more than a series of corrections. We need to renovate our minds day in and day out. If there are those that we can help in any way, we ask you to come as we stand and sing.